You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
One of the greatest trends during the 1980s will be a desperate search for meaning in life. If you are now searching, stay tuned. There is an answer.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, our hearts are restless till they rest in Thee. Grant unto all who desire real and lasting meaning in life Thine abundant grace. May Thy Holy Spirit always convict us of our sin and enable us to turn for forgiveness and strength to Thy crucified Son, Jesus. Assure our hearts that even though life may sometimes seem difficult and even impossible, Thou art always with us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, and to assure us of everlasting life. In the precious and powerful name of Thy Son, Jesus, we pray, Amen. The unusual news release stated that Olga Dieterding, who inherited $50 million when she was only 10 years old, and who spent most of her life vainly seeking happiness, died in London on New Year's Eve at the young age of 49. As the post-mortem was being held to determine the cause of death, close friends discussed the life of the woman whose father founded the vast Royal Dutch Shell oil empire. Her friends said that in spite of several well-publicized romances and a six-year stint working in Albert Schweitzer's African leper colony, Miss Dieterding developed a lack of interest in living. As she departed from this life on New Year's Eve with a champagne glass in her hand, her friends stated she dreaded facing another year. In many respects, Olga Dieterding's life was dramatically different from most individuals. Very few people inherit $50 million when they are only 10 years old. On the other hand, Olga's searching for happiness and meaning is strikingly similar to the current quest by countless thousands of people. While there still are those who suffer from the illusion, popular several decades ago, that happiness in life depends on one's possessions, most individuals now realize the vanity of this despair-creating mirage. They are convinced there must be more to life than the mere temporary satisfying of one's physical wants and desires. And so as we enter the decade of the 80s, you can be absolutely sure that newspaper articles will be written, television editorials will be given, and moving speeches will be delivered calling for more quality in life. In the coming decade, the desperate search for life with meaning will intensify. If you have been searching, or if in the depths of your heart and soul you feel there must be more to life than you are presently experiencing, may I assure you that your life can have real and lasting meaning in Jesus Christ. This is true, the Bible powerfully proclaims in Colossians chapter 1, because Jesus created all things, and now today in Him all things hold together. Please do not quickly and erroneously conclude that I am some fast-talking ecclesiastical super salesman. I am not out to sweet-talk you into believing that as soon as you become more religious, all your troubles will automatically disappear and you will have heaven on earth. Permit me to gratefully tell you that my brief message today is based totally and solely on the changeless and living Word of God. That same Word which brought the entire world into existence. It is no surprise that for many today, life is meaningless. All too many individuals live for themselves and egotistically believe that everyone and everything must revolve around them. Trying to understand life with this type of attitude and without Jesus in the center is like trying to understand an exciting book after first rejecting the central figure of the beautiful story. Jesus is the central figure of all of life. And to make a comparison which can never do justice to the importance of this subject, the plot, the central theme of the Bible, simply describes God's gracious work through Jesus rescuing helpless sinners from the condemnation they deserve. The gospel is the true story of God's gracious rescue mission of love, salvaging you and me. And the central figure of the entire operation of redemption is Jesus Christ. Without Jesus in the center of your life, you are unequivocally destined to live a life without real and lasting meaning. Trying to find real and lasting meaning in your life without placing Jesus in the center is like walking into a movie which is half finished and trying to understand it. No book or movie will make sense to those who either reject the main character or fail to see how he is related to every surrounding event. Listen carefully as I read directly from the Bible and hear what the living Word of God itself proclaims concerning Jesus. He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. The Bible continues by saying, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. What the Holy Scriptures are saying is simply this: to have meaning in life, we must understand life in its totality. And to understand life, we must understand how everything is related to Jesus Christ. As one observes the frantic and desperate search for meaning in life, no feeling has caused more agony and despair than the feeling that there is no hope, no future, and no reason to live. This terrifying feeling has precipitated a spiraling suicide rate among youth, a dramatic increase in the use of alcohol among the middle-aged, and bitterness among the aged, those rapidly approaching and forced to face an uncertain future. When God assures us that in his divine Son, Jesus, all things hold together and have meaning, he is not talking only about this life, but also about the future. And so whether you like it or not, and whether at this very moment you believe it or not, your future is totally dependent on how you relate to Jesus Christ. If you are avoiding Jesus, you may slide by for the present, and you may even find some type of temporary meaning in life. But your future will be determined by your relationship to the Savior. The Holy Scriptures declare with absolute divine authority, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." Examine your life today. Have you been living an ego-centered and godless lifestyle, and at the same time wondering why your life is so meaningless? Maybe you are even very moral and decent and well-respected in your community. Yet you always place yourself first, and your Lord rates only a mere afterthought at best. Now let me warn you. Being honest and realizing what you have been doing can easily lead to a feeling of terrible guilt and hopeless anguish. As you prayerfully and honestly examine your life, don't let Satan drown you in the sea of despair. Cry out to the Lord with a repentant heart. Ask him to rescue you. He will do it. and then begin a new life with a complete confidence and absolute assurance that Jesus died for all your sins, including self-centeredness, meism, and ego worship. Having the conscience-consoling knowledge that you are completely forgiven leads to the blessed assurance of eternity in heaven, a place of constant joy and bliss. What a future to look forward to! But the joy of Jesus is not only for the future. It begins today, now. Receiving from God the blessed gift of faith which assures us of our future makes our life even now different. It gives us real purpose and reason to live. Let me explain it this way. If I were to invite you as a prisoner to enjoy a steak dinner at 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, but at the same time you realized because of your situation you would be put to death at 9 o'clock, you would not be able to enjoy the meal at 6 o'clock. One's future always affects the present. An uncertain future makes the present life a living hell. If your future is uncertain, you will never experience a lasting and meaningful life. A certain future, made possible by the sin-atoning power of the blood of Jesus Christ, will cause the present life to have real meaning. Let your troubled heart and searching soul be comforted and strengthened by the gracious words of our loving Lord, recorded in the Holy Scriptures as it triumphantly proclaims that when Jesus was nailed to the cross, your ugly sins were nailed to the cross with him. Jesus Christ suffered the penalty for sins you have committed, and he died the death you should have died. This may sound simplistic and even ridiculous. In fact, on the basis of logic and reason, you may even be tempted to ask the question Nicodemus asked Jesus. How can this be? One internationally known Bible scholar paraphrased the beautiful promise of the Bible which answers this question when he said, He, Jesus, has forgiven you all your sins. He has utterly wiped out the written evidence of broken commandments which always hung over our heads, and has completely annulled it by nailing it to the cross. If you are searching, seek not Satan and the lusts of this world. Seek Jesus and what he graciously is offering you. And now, before you react by saying, I've tried believing in Jesus but nothing happens, let me explain something very important. There is great confusion today as to who Jesus Christ really is. There is in our generation perhaps more false and misleading information being promoted about the Son of God than at any other time in history. In order for Jesus to bring meaning in our life, we must get to know him by faith as he is revealed in the Bible. Instead of blindly relying on what I have said, search the Scriptures yourself. And don't rely on someone else's opinion, especially if they neither read the Bible regularly nor accept Jesus as he himself claimed to be the very Son of God. If you have concerns about anything you hear spoken, written, or taught about Jesus which sound untrue, follow the example of the early Berean Christians. The Bible teaches in Acts chapter 17 that they received the word with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. Just as a starving or sick person gradually gains health and strength as he regularly feeds on the bread for his body, so also, as you search and meditate on Jesus, the bread of life, the Spirit will gradually but positively change your life. As you seriously and regularly read and study the Scriptures, as you listen to the Word publicly proclaimed, and as you expose your life to the strengthening power of the Holy Sacraments, the Spirit of God will witness to your spirit. Your life of meism, self-centeredness, and ego worship will change. You will begin to joyfully see that you exist not to serve yourself, but to glorify God and to joyfully serve your fellow man. Your desire will turn from self-centered worship to one of a yearning to worship the Lord and selflessly to serve his children, those who live around you. The Spirit of God will cause you to be less concerned about satisfying your own selfish wants and desires and more about showing your love and concern to others. Even unbelieving psychologists admit that life begins to have more meaning when we stop worrying about and concentrating on ourselves, and when we begin to minister to the needs of others. St. John explained it beautifully when he said, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence." Contrary to what is sometimes implied, Jesus was not dragged to the cross. Jesus went willingly. The Savior went to the cursed tree to suffer for the sins of you and me. He died for all mankind, regardless of race, creed, or economic background. And so, picturing Jesus Christ as a mere milquetoast moralist who was crucified as a helpless martyr for the sake of love and justice is not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. And neither could this type of Jesus ever bring true meaning to anyone's life. The great missionary St. Paul refused to preach any other message than the crucified Christ. He knew mankind did not need another example to follow. This would only cause more frustration and lead to deeper despair. As you search today, you and I don't need another pious example. We need a Savior, someone to do what we cannot do for ourselves. And so, my friend, the real Jesus, the one revealed in the divinely inspired Bible, is now preparing for you a mansion in heaven. Do not reject Him. You may be experiencing all types of personal difficulties. You may even be ready to give up on life itself. You may be in a hospital, a rest home, or you may even be facing terminal cancer. Whatever your situation is, keep Jesus in the center of your life. He will strengthen and uphold you. He will see you through the most impossible situations. He will always be with you in this life and into life eternal. Take comfort in the same promise Jesus gave His disciples when He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." God grant this to all who are listening today. For Jesus' sake, amen.